All right, I'm going to start reading here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the administration of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward or towards you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. We're going to consider that in just a moment. Which in other ages, this mystery, was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ. This verse is, it would read, joint heirs, joint members, joint partakers. Okay? The mystery is not that the Gentiles would be blessed by that coming Redeemer. That was revealed in the Old Testament. But what was a mystery is that it would be one body. And we're going to look back at a few verses here where he says, I wrote a four in few words. And we'll see this body or this mystery referenced. It's kind of neat. To do that, I want you to go back to Ephesians 1. Let's start in verse 16. We're going to read this prayer. You know, in verse 9, he references the mystery of his will. And in verse 10, it's discussing the end game, I like to call it. Which is all things, where Christ is head of all things. That is yet to come. Okay? But in verse 16 begins a wonderful prayer here, and it says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding or your heart being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches, or what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought or energized in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world or this age, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the what? To the church, which is his body. Okay. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Christ fills all in all. All of us are part of those who have called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all filled with all. In Colossians, it says that we're complete in him. That's because we're filled. Kind of simple, isn't it? Chapter 2, verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometime afar off are made nigh by the blood of the life of Christ, by what he accomplished. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. This is in reference to the Judean and the Gentile. having abolished in his flesh the enmity or the hostility, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain or two, what?
One
new man. So making peace. See? Really simple. This body of Christ is called that new man, or here it's one new man. And it's referenced in other places in the epistles, one of which we'll look at in a little bit. And that he might reconcile both, again, referring to Israel and the Gentiles, unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, you're no more strangers and foreigners, fellow citizens, saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building. Now, this body, this one new man in chapter 2 here at the end, is referred to as a building. At the end, it'll be referred to as the tabernacle of God. Isn't that something? So it's referred to as a building, and then it says, all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy, the word temple should be sanctuary, a holy sanctuary in the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? And it really, it references that the perfection of the fitting, which we're going to see in a moment in Corinthians. It's just beautiful. You know, when the temple was built, there was not a sound of a hammer. Everything was done off-site. See? And every stone was slid into place. There was no sound of hammer. And that's something. See? So it's just beautiful. Fitted together. In whom you also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Isn't that beautiful? An habitation of God. And really, a wonderful way to understand that is it's where God lives. See? In that body of Christ. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. And I love this. I just love this. Because, you know, the first part of Romans, or Romans 1 through 8, deal with where man was, and this is a very small nutshell, but where man was and what Christ accomplished on behalf of men. See? You know, it opens with all destined for wrath, and then at the end of 8, those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, more than conquerors, nothing can separate us from the love that's in Christ. Isn't that something? Boom. Now, 9, 10, and 11 deal with some practical issues regarding the Judeans, Gentiles. Romans 12 opens with renewed mind. See? That we're not conformed to this age, but that we're what? Transformed. We're changed. And the reason why we can be transformed is because of Spirit. And it's because of God's Word. See? That transforming is a change into something else. It's living who you are and what you've been made in Christ. It is not fixing your weaknesses. If those things could be fixed, God would have fixed them. He looked at it and he killed it. Right? So who are we to think? You know, that by my actions, by what I do, I'm going to be right before God. Right? It's just pride. It's ego on the part of man. That's not how it works. So, that renewed mind, we're conformed, see, because of what God has given us in Christ. Spirit, God's Word. Then right out of the gate, It talks about that renewed mind, believing who you are in Christ, and it jumps, boom, right into the body. It's really, it's just awesome. Verse 4. Well, let's read verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think more highly than he ought to think, or think beyond what you should, but to think soberly. And here's what sober thinking is. It's according as God has dealt to every man the measure of believing, or that which God has given to be believed. And what is that? What is God given to be believed? Jesus Christ. See? For, as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or the same function, we being the many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. And then we have some examples listed here. Prophecy, according to the proportion of believing, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving. See, do it with genuineness. Ruleth, he that rules with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Isn't that something? That showing of mercy is a function in the body of Christ. Verse 11. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in the hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality, bless them, speak well of them which persecute you, bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Weep with them that weep. Be of the same what?
Mind.
One toward another. See? Be of the same mind one toward another. There is in Galatians chapter 3. You know what? Keep your finger here. Let's just turn there. You guys know this verse, but let's just read it. Galatians chapter 3. Yeah. Verse 26 says, "For you are all the children of God by believing, by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither." See, in that putting on, we're going to consider a little bit more about that in just a minute. What is it to put on Christ? There is neither Jew nor Greek. This is a big clue to what it is to put on Christ. Right here. There is neither Judean nor Greek or Gentile. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor what? Female, for ye are all one in who?
Christ.
See, that's that one new man. There is our thinking one toward another is in light of being in Christ. That each one of us was worth the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your being a male or a female. See, whatever your status in society is. Bond, free, you know, whatever it is, none of that, when I put on Christ, really should play into what I think about you. Now, we may not see things the same way. That's true. I may not have the same political affiliation as you do. You may like a different sports team. Right? But when it comes to this body of Christ, you are worth the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I see you as in Christ. Because what we do have is spirit. We may not all be the same sex, but we all got the same spirit. We may not all think alike, view things the same way about many, many different subjects, but we got the same God. We got the same Lord, and we're all heading to the same place. See, that's in Christ. Isn't that beautiful? And that's that new man. See. Now, let's go back to Romans 12. And I just want to finish that verse. And then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians. Romans 12. Verse 16 again. Be of the same mind toward one another. Think the same. You think the same thing, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. It basically means follow or pursue the humble ways. Be humble. Be not wise. See, be not wise, it says then afterwards, in your own conceits or your own intellect. Isn't that something? Because, see, our culture and cultures everywhere define how we treat one another, how we see one another in light of anything but Christ. Right? I mean, the last I heard, there's like 30 different races now. Yeah. How stupid. See? All the things that this culture, that this world, this age presents with which to identify one another, to see one another, to be with one, all the different things that cause all these divisions. But when it comes to the body of Christ, isn't that cool? It's spirit, baby. You called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatever things we may disagree on in any other field, we're all heading to the same place. And if you've called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you may not even believe that. But you know what? We're still all headed to the same place. Because it was done in Christ. Isn't that awesome? Let's look at Romans 12. Or I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians 12. We just looked at Romans 12. And I'm not going to get into this section in detail, but I think it's a blessing to look at and just to consider. Let's start in verse 12. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are what?
One
body, so also is Christ." This is really neat because it's for as the body is one, and it's referring back to the manifestation of the Spirit. It is the manifestation of the Spirit, but there are many evidences of that manifestation, right? But it's a manifestation. It's one of that Spirit, of that new nature. So is the body. Isn't that cool? For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Judean or Gentile, bond or free, and have been all made to drink one Spirit. Is that what it should read? For the body is not one member, but many. We read that in Romans. If the foot shall say, "Because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, "Because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now, this is so beautiful, but now hath God set the members, every one in the of them in the body, as it hath what?
Pleased
him. As it hath pleased him. It's really something. God knows what he's doing. He just does. That's why he's God. And if they were all one member, where were the body? If it was just all the same. But now, are there many? I've got a big hole here. But now are they many members, yet but one body? And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. That's beautiful. I love the fact, or the great truth here. Neither can the head say to the feet. Who's the head?
Jesus.
That's right. Nay, no, much more those members of the body, which seem to be weaker, are what?
Necessary.
They're necessary. See? Isn't that true of the physical body? That's right. And those of the body which we think to be less honorable. What were we told in Romans 12:3? Not to think. But, right. But to think according to, soberly, according to what God has given to be believed. Here we read, those we think to be more what? Feeble or whatever. Isn't that something? They're necessary. I'm sorry. Verse 23, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. And it's attractive, you know. We deal with those parts that seem or we think to be less attractive. See, but we bestow more abundant honor. You know, it's kind of funny because the physical body kind of works like this too. You know, in a way, I mean, we kind of, the tendency is, don't you kind of pay more attention to the parts of the body that aren't as attractive to try and fix it up or cover it or whatever you got to do, right? It's kind of funny, isn't it? I mean, you know, this analogy isn't perfect on every point. I don't mean to insinuate that. But, I mean, these are things we can understand. Anyway, verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. This is really neat to understand this. More abundant honor to that which lacked. You know, when you temper something, the tempering of steel, it involves iron, which is a soft metal. It's really not good for much. It's awesome for skillets. But it, as far as, you know, weapons or things like that, it's soft. It bends. Carbon on its own is dirt, pretty much. It's just, right? But when you mix carbon and iron, you know what you get?
Steel.
It's steel. Now we're cooking. Now you got cars, right? You got a lot of things. See? Carbon isn't much. Iron isn't much. But when you put it together and temper that, see, the sum of the parts is greater when you put that together. Isn't that something? Well, it's just like that with the body. Because God does it as it pleases Him. It's perfectly fitted. Remember we read that in Ephesians? All of these things that God did as it pleased Him. So when you put that all together, those, you know, what we deem to be less pretty or whatever, they're bestowed with more abundant honor because they have to work together. Separately, they don't. Even the one in the body who, whoa, I wish I did what she did. She's awesome. She, man. Take away the body of Christ. Take away all that stuff in Christ. Where is she? Where is he? Isn't that something? Okay. That's how we see it. It's so beautiful. It's so simple. Anyway, that there should be no schism in the body, that the members should have the same care one for another. Isn't that great? And that word care is beautiful. It's the word that means you divided in your mind. You know? Philippians says, be careful for nothing. But here it's, we have the same care one for another. See? We're concerned about one another because we're part of this wonderful body of Christ. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. This word particular is kind of neat. It basically is a word that means assignment. You have an assignment. Every member in the body of Christ is given an assignment to do. And that assignment is given by God. And it is perfectly fitted in the body of Christ. Now, as you read on, which we're not going to take the time to do, you will see. You'll see that your job or your responsibility is not to be concerned with what that assignment is. Or try and figure out at any given time what that assignment might be. Our responsibility that we're given by God is to love. We walk in love. Isn't that great? We love one another. And when we walk in that love, we're going to be carrying out that assignment that God's given us to do. See? And we're going to be carrying out the supply that is needed to take care of a need at any given time. It's always funny to me when people try to figure out their assignment and they end up saying to themselves, well, this is what I am. Give me a break. See, that's not how it works. We walk in love. And what I need to do or be for somebody today might be different than 2-3 hours from now. The important thing is that I walk in love. Isn't that something? Oh, perfectly fitted. See? All right, let's go back to Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to wrap this up. Isn't this great stuff to look at, though? Think about. This is where we get to wait for the return, is in that body of Christ. Pretty good. Together. You know? Yeah. And then we get gathered. Right. Ephesians. What did I say? 4? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did want to read a little bit of this, and then we're going to close in 3. We're kind of working backwards, I guess, huh? But let's pick this up in verse 22. Boy, there's a lot of places we could read in this chapter, huh? Yeah. It talks about the... Verse 16 is pretty awesome here. Anyway, I'm going to pick it up in 22. All right. It's always hard to pick a starting verse in the book of Ephesians. It just is. It's like, oh, heck with it. Let's just go to chapter 1, verse 1. Verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the manner of living, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts or desires, and be renewed in the spirit or the life of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, the verses following here show you what putting on that new man looks like. And it deals with your conduct toward members in this body of Christ. Isn't that something? See, to put on the new man is to live what God's made you in Christ, and to be in this wonderful body of Christ, in this church, and conduct yourself in light of what you've been made in Christ. See? That's why it says, put away lying. We're members one of another, aren't we? Put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, For we are members, what? One of another. See? That's something. Be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. We don't live that way. But that you might have to what? Give. See? Isn't that beautiful? And we can do all of these things because of what we have in Christ. Because we have Spirit and we have God's Word. See? Let's go to Ephesians 3. I just want to read a little bit here. Verse 9 reads, "And to make all see what is the fellowship or the administration of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world or the ages has been hid in God." The rest of that verse isn't in the critical Greek texts. "To the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God." How awesome is that? This body of Christ, this church, this building that is fitly framed together, by it, by what God's done in Christ, might be known the multifaceted wisdom of God when they look at this thing that God's done in Christ. "According to the eternal purpose which He purposed or accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the believing of Him. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by the believing, that you, being rooted and grounded in love." This is all plural. This is all plural. This is speaking to the body. "May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." Isn't that something? We're filled. We are completely filled, are we not? What we're talking about here is living in that church, living in that body. That's where you're going to see the length, the depth, the breadth, and the height of the love of Christ. That's where you're going to see it live. That's where you're going to be filled with all the fullness of God. God works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Those are one body verses. Sometimes people take those and they apply them individually. There's some truth to that, but the greatness of it, they're one body verses. See? How often have you had a saint come up to you and say or do something that was exactly what you needed when you needed, or you heard a teaching, or one of your kids? Right? It's like, oh, okay. You know? Noted. That's where it lives. See? And that's where we're going to see this stuff. And that's what this is talking about. "And to know the love of Christ, which is beyond knowledge, surpasses knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." See? "Unto Him be glory in the church." It should read, "in Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Amen. Isn't that beautiful? When I separate myself from the fellowship of the saints, from the fellowship of the believers, I shortchange myself. And I'm going to lose out on seeing what it is that God has for me. I'm going to lose out on seeing the fullness of that love that's in Christ. I'm going to miss out on so much. I'm going to miss out on some of the exceeding greatness of this power that's being spoken about in this verse. You know, even the verse of Philippians. Is it Philippians? Right. For God works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know that word you is plural? Yeah. It's the church. It's where God lives. See? So, amen?
Amen.
Amen.